The Israel Report with Rolene Marks for the latest information and the stories behind the news.
7:46, very, very good morning, Rolene Marks. How are you?
Good morning, Howard, and thank goodness you don't leave these sports questions up to me, because I am hopeless. If it has a bat, a ball, an oar, I'm absolutely hopeless.
Right, but give it heels and you know what you're talking about.
Oh, yes, honey, yes. That's an Olympic sport. Now we're talking.
Well, so it should be. All right, a terrible, terrible way to start the Israel report. And that is, of course, this flash flood in Jordan that killed 18 people. Please tell me about this.
Well, we've had extraordinary weather over the last couple of days. In fact, a huge storm in Modi Inn last night, tremendous winds. But I can't even begin to imagine what it must be like for those who are on the border with Jordan when flash floods let heavy rains fall over an area where there was a group of middle school students and their teachers who were visiting hot springs, which are near the Jordanian side of the Dead Sea. This was yesterday, and the flood swept some of them away about some 4 to 5 kilometers, and 18 have been killed, 35 have been injured. We do expect this number to go up. Yesterday, a 4-year-old Bedouin child was killed by flash flooding in the northern Negev. But at the moment, search and rescue, the RDF is there. Our elite RDF reconnaissance and rescue forces are there trying to help the Jordanian military with their search and rescue. And, you know, it's times like these where we put aside diplomatic issues and squabbles over land, and the most important thing is saving lives. Sadly, for some, it will be recovery and not saving lives. But terrible footage as some were clinging to rocks as the waters swept them away. A very, very horrible way to start the weekend, and our thoughts and prayers are with all affected by the floods.
Absolutely. Can this not be anticipated? You know, we had that horrible incident in Israel some months ago, earlier this year during the rainy season as well. Can we not anticipate that these things can happen or are going to happen?
Yet the problem is they come in so fast. You know, there was rain predicted for Modi Inn yesterday. I looked outside, there was not a cloud in the sky. And last night, this tremendous storm. So, you know, you can predict that there will be rains, but they come in so quickly. And the way that these wadis or ravines are, you know, I can't say the way they're built because they're a natural occurrence, but the way that they occur means that the water comes in very quickly and moves very quickly. So, you know, my guess that if there is rain forecast to really keep people out of these areas and not go on to day trips until they are absolutely certain there won't be any rains falling. But, you know, as I say, it just comes in at such a speed.
Really, really frightening, and just a terrible story. All right, another story that I wanted to cover was that the peace envoy is actually heading towards Israel now next month. Is this it? Is this the big reveal?
Well, I'm hoping that this is the big reveal. If it's not the big reveal, as you and I were chatting this week, then France's President Emmanuel Macron is going to make his big reveal, and then it's just going to be the battle of the reveals, Howard. But yes, we do have the special envoy to the Middle East, Jason Greenblatt, heading to the country next month. He will meet with Israeli officials. Is he going to meet with Palestinian officials? At the moment, we don't know, because the Palestinian Authority are not speaking to anybody from the Trump administration. They cite extreme bias. So even though U.S. Vice President Mike Pence came out earlier this year, he did not meet with Palestinian Authority members as they refused to meet with him. But it is rumored that after this long gestation period, everybody wondering what it contains, that it will be possible that the long-awaited and strictly guarded Trump peace plan will be revealed. Now, all we know, Howard, is that that the team that have been working on this peace plan have said that not everybody's going to be happy with this. President Trump has boasted, you know, if he brokers peace in the Middle East, it will be the deal of the century. So we are all waiting with bated breath. Nobody knows, except for the team that is working in top secret conditions on this, what the criteria or what concessions will have to be made on both sides.
Well, very, very interesting. And is there positivity around it? Is there concern, or is it just yet another peace envoy coming to Israel again, as we've seen so many of?
Well, unless he reveals the contents of the peace plan, it's going to be a case of yet another envoy has come to the Middle East and has said, you know, the appropriate soundbites and left. Trump said last month at the UN General Assembly that he likes the two-state solution. And, you know, I know that there are many there that are critical of the two-state solution, but the reality is that we do have to find some kind of amicable way to divorce our neighbors, to divorce this conflict, and to move forward as two people who don't have a choice but to live in this part of the world. What we do know is that Trump told Macron that he's not scared to treat Netanyahu just as harshly as he's treated the Palestinians, and that painful concessions are going to have to come from Israel as well. He has also said that in his recognizing Jerusalem as the capital and moving the U.S. Embassy and now also consulate services, they are all now under the ambit of the embassy to Jerusalem. That is a major concession from the U.S. to the State of Israel, and now he has to do the same for the Palestinians. So I think there's probably a little bit of trepidation from the Israeli side, just exactly what kind of concession is the president going to make, and how bound are we all by, the criteria of the Trump peace plan? Will he involve other nations as well? Will President Donald Trump be the one to finally broker some kind of lasting peace between Israel and the Palestinians? And then we also can't forget the other entity on our border, and that's Hamas. How much of a role will Hamas and Gaza play in this kind of peace plan?
Will be interesting to follow. Let's just talk for a moment about the Shabbos Project. I got a message earlier. In fact, a few messages. It's just been quite unbelievable. Benjamin Netanyahu sending his wishes. I read that out to our listeners earlier. Sent that out a message of wishing everybody around the world Shabbat Shalom. I saw a challah bake in a women's prison in Israel, which I thought was absolutely remarkable. Has Israel embraced the concept of the Shabbos Project?
Oh, yes, we have, except one small difference. We call it the Shabbat Project and not the Shabbos Project.
I would imagine.
That's the only difference, because, Hebrew spoken in Hebrew is more Sfadi Hebrew than Ashkenazi, and that is your interesting fact for the day, Howard. So in Israel, it's called the Shabbat Project, but I kind of like the way Shabbos Project, rolls off the tongue, and also because it is South African. It did originate in South Africa, which is something that we can be tremendously proud of. And you can see it here. You can see that it is embraced all over the country. Even Tel Aviv is advertising a big Shabbat dinner in the hangar at the Namal, at the port in Tel Aviv. There are challah bakes all over the country. We had several challah bakes in Modi'in last night. We had our city challah bake, which was extremely well attended and sold out. And then we also had a pink challah bake in order to raise awareness for breast cancer, October being Breast Cancer Awareness Month as well. Challah bakes in Ranana, Jerusalem, Tel Aviv, all over the country. And of course, the South Africans very, very strongly involved, because we still celebrate our ties to South Africa. But we will all be keeping it together here. A lot of the shuls, a lot of the communities, especially the Olim communities, finding that this is a way not just to tie us to our country Israel, but also to celebrate the unique communities that we come from. And it's quite beautiful to see Shabbos Project in Israel celebrated in French and in Hebrew and in Russian, in very specifically South African English, you know, with American flags, with Canadian flags. It's very, very festive, and kol hakavod to the community in South Africa and to the Chief Rabbi for starting this phenomenal project.
Absolutely. So it really is. It is quite interesting that you could think that Israel would resist it. As you know, why would a concept that, and of course Shabbos is not a concept from a foreign, the concept of everybody keeping one Shabbos together, it comes from outside of Israel. One would think there could be resistance to it.
Well, exactly that. You know, you would think that is the you know, more secular Israelis would resist it. You know what is this? But it's embraced, and it's so wonderful to see it celebrated in so many different ways. You know, if you want to celebrate the Shabbos project or Shabbat project here, doing downward dog on a yoga retreat in the north of the country, that's completely acceptable. You know, if you want to observe it, you know, more traditionally, as you will see more in cities like Ranana, Beit Shemesh, Modi Inra, I think there's a big Anglo community. You will see it observed that way. It was very heartwarming for me to see a lot of the organizations link in the Shabbos project with something that their non-profit does. I know, we're doing spreading the lights, lighting candles.
Stunning.
There are others that
so
are
So everybody
doing,
finds
know,
their own way, which I love. I love that. That everybody finds their own way, something that resonates around Shabbos, something that resonates for them, and they plug into that.
Absolutely. You know, some NGOs who feed people are, you know, are doing big Shabbos project dinners, Shabbat dinners. I mean, well, of course, you know, we're Jews and food, Howard.
Food
you,
works.
You're never going to pass
food,
up.
Food always works.
I mean, as you just mentioned, in a woman's prison, bringing in, you know, the sanctity of Shabbat and the sanctity of community, because that's also what it's all about. It's about an opportunity not just to observe the Shabbat in its entirety, but to really come together as community. And I think today this is so, so very, very needed. You know, we're so fractured wherever in the world you are, the left wing, right wing, secular, observant. There's so many different fractures, and this gives us an opportunity to all come together and focus on the beautiful and more important things in life.
Absolutely incredible. And I guess in some way, maybe because of the conflict in Israel between the religious and the non-religious, and there is quite a chasm, there is quite a strong divide, maybe this kind of concept coming from outside of Israel, where people don't adhere to either of those religious and political lines as you do, as one does in Israel, or as many do in Israel, maybe that's why it's been successful.
Absolutely. I mean, I've looked at pictures of the various chalabeks around the country and here in Modi Inn. Unfortunately, because it is my year of mourning, I did not go to the chalabek as I normally do. But just to see the pictures, we've got Ashkenazi and Sephardi, because many people don't realize we have a great divide in Israel between Ashkenazim and Sephardim. But to see the Ashkenazi women dancing with the Sephardi women, and the different kinds of chalot that are baked, colorful chalot with little sparkly things on, and whole wheat chalot, and women coming together to, you know, to share their recipes and their success stories, and, you know, the woman in clothing that is motzniot, and the woman wearing jeans and tank tops. Everybody, you know, has come together, and I think it's going to be a monumentous and beautiful weekend.
Let's hope. I'm sure it will be. On that note, Rolene Marks, you have a fantastic weekend.